T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Eli, my man, let's go. It's hour 3 of the program. It's guest week here on the show. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 10. What we do on guest week is we turn an hour over to our favorite people and we hang out with them and we find out stuff and we talk about things and whatnot. Earlier we had... Wait, what are you doing?
I'm adjusting the volume.
No, it's on the slider.
Oh, ooh.
See? Fancy. Hey. Now you're feeling good. That's yeah. We had a great hour with Sierra Santos, and Cody just came in, talked some Bulls with us. Eric Edholm will be here at 9 o'clock, and we'll talk with him. But we couldn't do guest week without Layla.
Aww,
Layla's
thanks.
A friend of the show. She stops by once a month.
I do.
She calls it the monthly visitor.
Because, hey.
Why not?
It's a thing.
It's totally a thing. So we like having her on the show anyway, and we figure, well, why not have her on during guest week? So thank you for coming and hanging out with us. It's appreciated.
Well, I'm happy to be here. I am sorry that I couldn't be here on a Tuesday or Wednesday, but I'm like one of the only people working at my office that day on the air.
Which is strange because you're in charge of doing baseball shows over there, and baseball's on a break, and you're not.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Full-time job, I guess.
I guess.
I don't know. I need to take vacation, but I can't figure out when I need to take it.
How do you do vacations?
I don't know. I'm very bad at it.
I'm bad at it, too, which is why I'm trying to pick your brain.
Do not ask me. That is one of those questions where if you're asking me, you've gone to the wrong place.
But I'm looking for answers wherever I can get them. Why are you bad at vacations?
Because I'm always working. So that kind of negates that. Also, I live across the country from my parents who live across the country from each other. So usually that's what my time traveling is taken up doing.
Do you ever feel like you can get to the point of Zen mode on your vacation?
No. I mean, for me, and this is a humble brag, but our job is pretty good.
It is.
So it's not like I say to myself, man, I really need a vacation. But the only time I really want to get out of town is when winter has gone on for 10 months.
Mm.
And I'm like, seriously? And I felt the same way thusly when I lived in Texas and it was the opposite situation where like in October at 6 a.m. the heat index is 90 and they've put up Christmas decorations outside and you're like, please let summer end. Then I want to go somewhere. But I don't know. I mean,
I struggle with this. Like
I don't have kids. Like I report to myself like.
It's
hard. I don't need a vacation necessarily.
It is difficult to push yourself. Like, you have to do it. Like, you have to do it.
But the problem is, like, anybody I want to find to go with me lives elsewhere because I've moved so much. And then it's like, okay, well, how do we time this? And then a lot of them work in my business, and then it's hard to coordinate time off. So, yeah, it's just a mess.
So what constitutes a perfect vacation for you?
Man, I don't even know.
Like, are you beach or are you city?
Like
do you want
ski.
The excursion?
I like to ski. I wish I could do more of that.
Are you good?
No. I mean, I can ski blue. I used to be able to ski black when I skied more often in Colorado.
I don't know what that means.
Black is like the highest level. Blue is
oh,
the
so
second
like
highest
black
level.
Diamond, like mm-hmm. that sort of thing.
I could ski black when I like in different places. Like black in Lake Tahoe is different from a black in Colorado.
Man, that is going to be a rough soundbite when we bring that back.
I'm sure it is.
Which is great. But you know this. You grew up in sports radio.
I did indeed.
This is how we do. I told Mel, my wife, Mel, a.k.a. White Panther.
That's the best nickname I've ever heard, by the way.
She's out protesting right now. So I tell her all the time. I told her before the summer, I was like, you have to make sure that I take a vacation at some point this summer. And she's like, okay, I can make sure that you take a vacation. So I finally put in for like a vacation where it's, I think it's 7 days off. Herbie gets to get away from me for seven shows.
Well, Herbie wants to get away too.
Yeah.
Speaking of vacation.
And I now know his whole action. You know, I learned that the other day when he was telling me how back in the day when he was producing, he liked to make sure that when his host was out, that he would work. Because that way he could have 2 weeks away from his host instead of just the 1 week away.
It was a specific host, though. It wasn't you. It was Mike North.
Well, we'll see if your ass is here when I go on vacation in August.
When are you? You're going in August? Where are you going?
I don't know if I'm going anywhere yet. But
I had recommended Austin to you, but in August, don't even think about it.
You know what? We were trying to get away this weekend, and I was thinking about doing Austin, and I was like, it's going to be 130,000 degrees.
If you think it was hot here this weekend,
yeah,
don't even think about going there this time of year.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'll save that for the fall, like late in the fall.
I have a 3-day weekend and I'm originally from the Dallas area and my friends were like, oh, come down to Dallas. And I'm like, first of all, flights are stupid expensive for some reason. Secondly, why am I going to pay a lot of money to go hang out in 100 degrees? Nope.
No.
This is the prime time in this city.
I completely
understand. I'm not outside.
I try to tell folks, Kristen Balboni, who works over at Stadium, she had just moved here. And I said, she got here in March. And, you know, it was just horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Even early April is horrible. And I said, wait until. So you wait until it's 80 degrees in Chicago.
We had like 4 days of spring and it was really cool.
Yeah. And then it turned into, Lynn said it the best. Lynn said that Chicago has, Lynn Casper says Chicago has four seasons. It's February.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a week of spring, August.
Yeah. Yeah. And then winter.
And that's it.
Yeah, like, that's genius.
That's all you got.
Yeah, I used to call ours summer one, summer two, Christmas, because it was 50, and then pre-summer.
So yeah, that's
Christmas, pre-summer, summer one, summer two.
That's all
summer
you
two,
got.
The reckoning, where your shoes melt. I'm not kidding. Nothing left on the counter is free of mold. You have to put everything in the fridge, cereal, bread, anything, plastic bags.
Wow.
And your air conditioner's on, but it can't get lower than 78. And y'all want to live that life? I'm just asking a question.
What's the thing that you miss most about Texas?
No state income tax.
That works. Breaking, Layla Rahimi signs with the Rockets.
No, because I left San Diego a la Herb, and I went to Houston.
Lots of taxes there.
Yeah.
Lots of taxes
yeah,
in California.
So I left San Diego, and I went to Houston, and all these people were like, why did you do that? Why? Well, it's because I got a full-time gig, and I was able to anchor, host, and report. And in San Diego, I was just the field reporter for the Padres. And I'm like, and oh, by the way, no state income tax. And they were like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
And then you play the DJ horn in the background.
That's some extra cheddar. And we all need it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. But I like being here.
Well, we're happy that you're here.
Yeah, I've been here for a minute now.
I know.
For 2 years.
I know.
It's been fun.
The first half of the season, I was on Twitter, this must have been Saturday, with the Saturday collapse of the Brewers. And I said, these dudes are going to wake up on Monday and be 2.5 games behind the Cubs. And they're going to go, what just happened to us? You got cubbed and you went to Pittsburgh and lost 5 straight games, which is ridiculous. So you're covering these teams all the time. You do a great job on every show they put you on. On NBC
on
Sports
all of
Chicago,
the shows.
On all of the baseball
I'm
shows.
I'm on Fast Break tonight at midnight, just in case you want to know.
It's so funny because I deal with a lot of texters and callers who hate Joe Madden. And today I was like, yeah, here are the Cubs in first place by 2.5 games at the, sorry, Herb, halfway point of the season.
It is the halfway point, Herb.
I mean, they have, what, 69 games left.
Come on,
man. I understand his angst with this.
I get it. But at the same time, since when have we ever honored math in this business?
You can speak. You're allowed.
I mean, half is pretty, you know, cut and dry.
Self-explanatory.
It's actually not. Hence the whole half full, half empty thing.
I mean, it's not even close, though. Cubs are, what, 92 games in? It's not close to one. It's not close to 81.
It's the halfway point, Herb.
All right. Just say post-All-Star, pre-All-Star.
No, that's like way too long. That's not to say.
Herbie, you're right. You're right. That here are the Cubs at the All-Star break. We could just say that.
At the break.
At the break.
For all you people doing this, when I borrow money from you guys, I'll give you back half of that money. Or you let me borrow half of the money that you owe me. And it'd be like $20 and give me back 16.
This is why we had a segment on this show called Ask Herb.
I love Ask Herb.
Because we haven't done Ask Herb in a while.
I know, and I love Ask Herb.
If we don't find a guest to fill that 6 p.m. spot on Wednesday, guess what's going in there?
Ask Herb. Ask Herb. Ask Herb.
I'll be here.
Yeah. Anyway. Obviously, you'll be. Anyway. What were your thoughts on seeing look, it's the Padres, but the weekend that the Cubs had and the weekend that the Brewers had?
I think that it is a joke when we say that these series don't matter, because they do. Win the games you're supposed to win, because guess what? It's only a 2.5 game gap. I am concerned because I feel like every game is going to tip the needle as to what kind of trade is going to be made between these two teams as we lead up to the deadline. And if you guys don't think that the Brewers are serious contenders for Manny Machado, you would be mistaken. They have the prospects to do it. They have the chutzpah, so to speak. They've got the hat in the ring. It's the reason why I think they forced the Cubs' hands on Jose Quintana a bit, because they were the first ones to say, we're interested in him. And to me, this is a chess match right now.
That's how I look at it.
Like, they are the biggest contender to throw off the Cubs in the division.
They are. But the Cubs kind of sunned them this weekend. Like, all this whole time, what have everyone's been talking about around baseball, definitely in the Midwest, is, wow, the Brewers look for real.
We consider them for real until mid-September last year.
Agreed. And then all of a sudden, you go into Pittsburgh, you lose 5. You look up on Monday, and those dudes, those guys that have been giving you headaches for the last couple years, have just kind of conveniently popped their way back into first place. And now, instead of being in control of the division, you're now chasing again.
It's 2.5 games. If there's a sweep, this thing flips again.
I know.
If there's a week, this thing flips again. It's 2.5 games. This isn't 7.
I know, but it... I'm mixing metaphors in sports, but it feels like the Cleveland-Toronto thing, where, yeah, Toronto, go ahead and have the best record in the Eastern Conference. Go ahead. Go do that. Then LeBron shows up, and they pee themselves. And I feel like it's the same thing with the Brewers. It's like you had the Cubs where you wanted them, and instead of maintaining or putting some distance between them, you beat yourself, and now they're back in control.
Now, I like that if it's a head-to-head series discussion.
Sure, and it has been that way for the most part.
Let me take you back to 2015, when it was a three-team race in the Central, and strength of schedule was a discussion. If you want to mix metaphors, the strength of schedule became a major, major concern for every team down the line, because it didn't matter who had the weaker teams to play and then what they were going to do against them.
Yeah. Someone just said, did the Cubs get swept by Cinemark? Do you think this is one of those, like, he was trying to text Cincinnati and it somehow turned into Cinemark?
Yes, I do.
That's funny to me.
It is funny.
Because now I want to know, Layla, I want to know, why was he texting Cinemark? Like, Like, was it, hey, we're going to go see Ant-Man and the Wasp at the Cinemark?
Listen, everybody knows syntax-based autocorrect is trash. It thinks it knows what you're going to say, but it doesn't.
All right, so listen, 630 texter, we got to know. Because he just went, damn, Cincinnati, and he texted it back.
I totally feel you. I hate my syntax-based autocorrect.
I got to know, why is Cinemark in your phone? Were you going to go see a movie at the cinema?
It's probably something he recently Googled because Big Brother is watching his phone.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
At least we're in the media who tells you what we're doing.
That's right. So you have the Brewers in line to get Machado. Do you think that they do anything else?
I don't know that they get Machado because I think the Phillies, for whatever reason, have become enamored with Machado. And I think that they are... the other very serious contender, like one is one and one is 1A. And I don't know why, if you're the Phillies, you want to get Machado, but hey, that's a city that is drunk on championships right now, so just leave them be.
Well, do you think that the NL East is a three-team race? Does Machado help one of those teams? Like, is that enough to help the Phillies overtake and win that division?
The NL East confuses the heck out of me.
Why?
Because it's just a mess. The team that should be ahead isn't. The team that wasn't supposed to be in the mix is now in the mix. So, therefore, you've got all these hands in the pot. I don't even know how you'd put it. But, I mean, the Mets have... I don't know. They're the Mets, I guess.
Yes.
But they've still got two of the best pitchers in baseball. So what are you guys going to do? And now there's this talk about a DeGrom extension. I can't figure out the NL East. I really cannot.
What do you think happens with DeGrom and Syndergaard?
I mean, listen, that organization has prided itself on pitching for a really long time. I think that they identify with those two players. But I mean, do you remember when Mets fans didn't want to trade Lucas Duda forever?
Yes.
Yeah, that's how it is there for some reason. I don't have enough experience with the fan base, but... They hold on to people, you know?
I also think that I've been convinced, and there's no zealot like the converted, that the way that the Cubs do pitching is the way to do it. Now, look, this isn't a great year for this example, because a lot of the stuff that they've tried to do hasn't quite worked out the way that they've wanted it to. But I think that growing pitching is extremely difficult. And damn near impossible. And if you're
really, because the White Sox seem to do it.
And and what have they won?
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean?
But they have. Is the Mets situation a DeGrom and Syndergaard situation, like a Sale and Quintana situation? Yeah,
but I mean, they had it. Like, if we go back to 2015, here's all this. It's what, DeGrom and Syndergaard and Steven Matz.
They had a six-man rotation,
right?
Yeah.
And what happens? And I remember
they got to the World Series.
I remember the jokes. The jokes were that on Bobby Bonilla day, Bobby Bonilla, July 1st, celebrated every year, Sky Point, Bobby Bonilla was making more than everyone in their rotation.
But that's how you do it. That's how the Indians did it.
I agree. But then those arms fall apart and you've been banking on, well, we've got all these young arms.
They had a 6-man rotation.
And now what do they have?
They went to the World Series that year, though.
And now what do they have?
But that's how it is. It's boom and bust.
That's why I don't like the idea of growing a staff. I like the idea of it being you kind of mix and match. And
yeah,
that you buy pitching more than you grow it.
But there's a team leading the AL Central right now that is going to prove to you that growing pitching is a good idea. Because who, if not them, goes to the World Series? It's them or the Astros, right? That ALCS is going to be lit.
The American League playoffs, I think, even though we already know who's in it.
Pretty much.
I think is going to be fascinating. I also do wonder what would happen if the Cleveland Indians were in a real division. Like, what would happen?
I will argue this. We have seen before, the Astros being the example last year, teams come out of weak divisions. But kind of like with Cincinnati, who is better than we realize, obviously, with the amount of the All-Stars they have and what they've done since Riggs has taken over.
They've been great since Riggs took
over. If you don't take care of business against those type teams, against the Pittsburgh type teams, against the Padres type teams, then you're not going to get there.
That's what I'm saying about the Brewers. But you shot me down earlier.
No, because to me, with those two examples specifically, it is a head-to-head. But in a weak division, when you're talking about the weak division argument, I think it does matter to a certain extent.
Layla Rahimi is in the house. She's here with me until 9. We're talking about all sorts of stuff.
Indeed.
Whether it's vacation or baseball or what are you feeling about the Bryce Harper headband?
It's very Cobra Kai.
It is. It's definitely sweep the leg. And I appreciate that about him.
I mean, here's the thing. It's so hot there and humid that I actually think it serves a purpose.
I agree.
And I think Bryce Harper is the type of guy to try to bring a trend back or be a little bit theatrical because of his hair.
Why
and
not?
I'm okay with that.
He's got the Star Spangled Bat, too.
Cool.
I mean, that stuff type, it kind of works.
They pegged him as being the guy to bring back fun in baseball, remember?
Yeah, and it's one of the other guys that's in the Home Run Derby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Messer Baez, that is. We'll talk about him and other stuff with Layla next here on The Score. This segment is being brought to you by Spot Hero. Hey, I used Spot Hero earlier today. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. Layla Rahimi is in the house. What are you going to do on television tonight?
I have the Midnight Show, Fast Break. So, Home Run Derby recap. We have Hawks Prospect Camp. That's
okay.
A thing. Kelly and Chuck are both in D.C., so we'll have reports from them.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, Chuck was crushing it at the Futures game yesterday.
I saw he got Basabe on. And
yes, who crushed a ball.
Man, hit that ball a long way.
Exit velocity is a beautiful thing.
I'm. Where are you at with the White Sox rebuild and level of excitement about it?
I think this is completely normal. I think a lot of people said, like, oh, phase two of the rebuild starts this year. No. You are still very much in phase one. I think you're not in phase two until you've developed two generations of prospects. And when I say that, I mean prospects that you had from, like, if you got, say, okay, if you traded Yoan Moncada because you traded Chris Sale, that would be the second generation of prospect to me built on a trade. So they're not there yet. They haven't traded tradable prospects. So I think they're still in phase one of the rebuild. And I'm okay with that.
Do you think James Shields ends the season over on the South side?
I don't know. Because I love what James Shields has done for his team. And I love that he is the guy who says, give me the ball. And he has reinvented himself as a pitcher and reinvented his delivery. And I can't even imagine how hard that is. And the way he eats innings is fantastic. And I can't say enough about what he's done and how he's assumed the role that he's in now and what that means to a team. I can't put it into words. I think it's really cool.
I think
but
it's
cool,
too.
But the home run is his bugaboo. So then how many ballparks does that take away? How do you use him? But I don't think he's the guy. He's the guy who's given up the solo home run these days. He's not allowing base runners like he used to.
And he's going... His pitch count lately has been...
Right, that's what I'm talking
like
about.
Like old school, like going out there and throw 110 pitches.
He's a gamer.
See, I think there's value for a guy like that.
Absolutely. We've seen it on this team.
And I know that it's easy because he's in town to match him up with the Cubs, for example. I think that they need a James Shields type. It doesn't have to necessarily be James Shields, but... It makes sense to me that they need someone who's going to eat innings because the one problem for Cubs pitchers this year is
Yu Darvish struggled in every, fifth inning. But don't they have that guy in Mike Montgomery?
I think that he's wearing down, though. Like, if you look at his last few starts, he looks uncomfortable. And I think now that there's a more complete book on Mike Montgomery. And Lester has been pitching... Well,
out of his mind.
He's been so good, but you do worry that at some point the peripherals are going to catch back up to a John Lester and he's not going to be as strong.
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about it because I just want to enjoy what he's doing. I know that sounds crazy, but
No, it doesn't sound crazy.
I think if we disrespect what he has going on right now, then we're doing ourselves a disservice as baseball fans.
No, I'm not trying to disrespect it. I'm just trying to project.
No, I totally get that. Whereas I'm like, I just want to live in this moment right now.
It's a great moment to live in because we go over this a couple times a week.
I mean, he threw 110 plus against the Dodgers. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm still living in the moment. Well, yes.
The fact that you had two contracts on this team that had already paid for themselves. Ben Zobrist's contract, World Series MVP. He has paid for even if the next 2 years were bad, he's paid for himself. Same thing with John Lester. Spent all that money. He did what he was supposed to do. He was League Championship Series MVP. And he's here. You win a World Series. Boom. Those two contracts have paid for himself. Now, you have those being plus contracts. The year that Zobrist has been the most underappreciated player in Major League Baseball this year, in my opinion.
I think there's a lot of merit to that, absolutely.
He's been terrific, and he's not supposed to be terrific. Not at this point in his career is he supposed to be this guy. And the same thing with Lester. Not supposed to be this guy at this point in his career. So I have a lot of respect for what those two guys are doing, but I'm also looking at, well, what ends up happening.
You're looking at the macro.
Yeah. Enjoying the micro, but looking at the macro and saying, what do they need? Here's a question. What's it like for you to host a show about baseball leading into a Tyler Chatwood start?
Well, the beauty of Baseball Night in Chicago is we talk about everything. So we scatter shoot about it all, and we talk about both teams on that show. But Tyler Chatwood...
Have you had to do a Cubs post with Chatwood on the mound yet?
I mean, I've done like an In the Loop post, but I don't do the Cubs post. But we know what's gone on there. We know.
It's been bad.
If you're going to take that route, then why did his body of work in Colorado and outside of Colorado not make you take notice? Also, I will argue that it has been a real problem to find a 4 or 5 starter for every team.
For sure.
And do you remember Brett Anderson?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a situation.
Yeah, but was Brett Anderson making $13 million a year?
We could tweet him and ask.
Yeah. Brett, were you making $13 million a year?
I mean, again, not to use another example, but unless you're the Astros right now, where Charlie Morton is pitching out of his mind.
Herb just left the studio or else we would have a conversation because his whole thing is Charlie Morton cheating.
I know, and he's not, you know, I'm sure Trevor Bauer would agree with him. Let's rewind to that beef.
It's good beef. It's a real good beef.
It was good because Lance McCullers went off the top turnbuckle.
Well, he's been that dude.
By the way, speaking of turnbuckles,
yeah,
did I hear they tried to recreate Hell in a Cell 98 the other day?
Did they?
Can somebody confirm this?
If you can confirm that they tried to recreate Hell in a Cell.
And how dare you try to recreate Hell in a Cell 98?
They're trying to recreate a lot of stuff.
Hell in a Cell is a classic, okay? It stands alone.
They brought Hogan back today. That's the word on the street there.
Yeah, I saw a little bit about that as well.
It's unfortunate. Because there's really no need for it yet.
I wonder what my fave Persian, the Iron Sheik, has to say about this.
I haven't checked in on the Iron Sheik's Twitter in a while. I'm sure it's foul mouth.
I take offense at him saying he's the greatest Persian of all time. I being Persian.
And the greatest.
that's the whole bit, right? You have to one up and have some fun with it.
Why not embrace it and say that you are? And someone texted and said, yes, they did. And someone else says it was just a regular steel cage, but yes, it did happen last night.
It had the same choreography, right? And I say choreography because that's the only way that you could try to recreate it, because those moves in 1988 were organic. How dare they? I am insulted on behalf of mankind and frankly, Undertaker.
As you should be.
Who lives in an Austin suburb.
Does he?
And had a son who played for the same high school football team that Baker Mayfield played for.
Get out.
Yeah.
The same
Undertaker,
time?
No, I don't think so. The Undertaker, I don't think so anyway. The Undertaker lives in Lake Travis, which is a suburb of Austin.
708 text says, no, they did not try to recreate Hell in a Cell 98. It was just a regular cage match. But see,
was it Hell in a Cell was a regular cage match until it became Hell in a Cell?
You are 100% correct. And there are people that are backing up your point.
Good. Thank you, texters.
Yeah, there's a couple of them that are jumping in. Was that your favorite match ever?
Yeah, I think so. Just because it was so... Because of WrestleMania and what happened with Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth.
So you were drawn into some of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I grew up watching it. Wrestling.
I enjoyed the Elizabeth George the Animal Steel storyline.
See, and I didn't get all of them because we were like renting the videos to watch everything at the time. So I don't even know if we watched them all sequentially growing up.
Did you have a favorite wrestler? Was it Undertaker?
Taker was up there because he just seemed like unstoppable. Like you were either on his team or you were going down because you weren't on his team.
Shawn Michaels is a Texas guy, right? I think he's a Texas guy.
I don't know.
I used to love
Bret
Shawn
Hart
Michaels.
Was Canadian.
Oh, yeah.
And then JR. We've both interviewed JR.
Wait, hold on. You said Bret Hart. Bret got screwed! Bret got screwed! Bret got screwed! Bret got screwed! Okay. That's
feel better?
I do. I feel a little bit better.
Good.
No, Bret screwed himself.
I remember like all the Mean Gene interviews too before JR became a thing, but Hell in a Cell with JR saying this man has a family and stop the damn match.
Oh my God!
This man has a family! And I love saying all the time, I love just being like, by God, that's TCU's music.
Oh, my God, that's Kyle Schwarber's music.
Oh, I do it at the trade deadline all the time when, like, mystery team comes in and takes away a player. And you're like, by God, that's the Milwaukee Brewers music.
Can I drop a name real quick since you already brought it up?
Avi.
I was texting with JR today.
He has a show coming up here in town.
August 23rd at Zany's
in
Rosemont. So he's going to be back in town soon. So hopefully we both get the opportunity to interview him again.
Yeah. And I want to actually go to the show.
Really?
So it just depends on if I have to work or not.
But see, I feel like you're getting a better version of the show because it's you and him. And he's one of those guys where it's such a great interview because you just lay it up. Like it's alley-oop all day. With JR, the way he tells stories is unbelievable.
That's a lost art, how good storytelling like that, when people can actually just verbally tell stories and narrate them in such a way.
Let's take JR out of it for a second. What's an interview that you've done that did that? Where you were like, whoa.
Well, I will say it was always the sidebar conversation. You know, it's never the stuff on camera. But one of my favorites of telling stories, because he's one of the absolute best at it, is Rick Barnes, the Tennessee coach. When I covered UT, he was at Texas. He's one of the best storytellers to me.
Why?
Just the way he narrates stuff. He was talking about how he had to pick up Barry Switzer one time from the airport because Switzer had to come to town for a funeral. And I'm like, you had to pick up Switzer? And you know, it's just stuff like that. Like, he knows how to tell a really good story. Or he talks about, like, the time he finally got to meet Richard Petty, and he's from Hickory, North Carolina. So this is the quan for him, meeting Richard Petty. So he's just, I don't know, he's just one of those people who just knows how to tell a good story.
You work with a couple of guys that can tell stories.
Oh, yeah.
In very different ways.
Yeah.
Doug Lamville tells stories really...
He's great at it, too.
I love him on the broadcast. Like, I love him on your show, but I've really loved to learn to love him interacting with JD and Lynn.
Yes.
And him telling stories. Like, there was that Friday game. I forget who they were playing. The Friday game, that crazy, stupid 405 first pitch game that they played. And Glanville is in there telling his story about going down for a rehab assignment.
Oh, yeah, and buying the guy's food. And
it was just great. Like, I really enjoyed him. I love when he's an addition. But between him and Ozzy,
they are two of the best storytellers that I work with. Like, not interviewed, but, like, just when it comes to telling stories. Doug has told me quite a few stories about the Texas Rangers, and I want to bang my head against the wall.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was just abject dysfunction the year he was there, and it showed on the field. So there was that, and it's just, it's story after story, and they are just hilarious. And Doug is a heck of a storyteller. He really is. And then Ozzy, on the opposite end, they're like, I joke that Ozzy's the devil on your shoulder and Doug's the angel on your shoulder. But it is a real joy to work with them both.
Whenever I watch you with them, I go, how soon before you came back from break did Ozzy stop talking? Because I feel like Ozzy has got something to say all the time.
So every now and then we have so much we put into the show. We would love to be able to have more time to talk about it. And every time I'm like, you know what Ozzy's going to say when he sees this rundown, which is the list of the topics we discuss. Our show. We need an hour show. And he's always right. I do feel like we could go longer if we wanted to.
He's 100% right. Have you enjoyed his latest on Instagram? As much as I have him and his granddaughter.
Oh, he calls her his baby.
I mean,
Ozzy Jr.'s not even in the picture anymore.
It's so great. Like, you can tell that Ozzy, like, this is his first grandchild, right?
And his first girl.
And the first girl. And he is in love. And you see it in every picture. It's just him and the baby. And the baby's all dressed up.
Adela.
And he's, the baby's asleep. And Ozzy's there. It's so great to see him like
Ozzy
that.
Ozzy has usurped the child. Like, I think he's like, nope, this is my baby
this
now.
This one belongs to me, Junior.
He said that you know, he's been out of the game, obviously, for a few years now. And he said that the thing that has made him the most young wasn't taking time off from baseball. It wasn't doing less. It's having a granddaughter.
It's awesome. I love seeing him like this. It's great. All right, we need to take one more final timeout and one more segment with Layla Rahimi. That's next here on The Score.
They got rats big in a pick.
The last time.
Black in Lake Tahoe is different from a black in Colorado. Y'all killing me. That's messed up.
Wait, Eli, load that back up, please.
Stop it. Black.
Stop. Kill the music. This was earlier on the. I want to set it up. This is earlier on The Score with Layla Rahimi.
Black in Lake Tahoe is different from a black in Colorado.
I agree.
I bet you do.
I was talking about ski trails. Mm,
seems a little loaded, like loaded language there. You know we don't ski.
Herb laughs in the background. I'm never giving you a vacation recommendation again.
Never again.
Here I was trying to be courteous. I hope it's 95 degrees every day for the rest of the month, Herb.
I mean, it will be, and I'll sweat no matter what.
Yeah, but, it does. Know. It really doesn't matter. Like, in the middle of the winter, he comes in here, and he's a mess.
Wishing ill will on Herb means wishing it's 95.
I mean, yeah, pretty much. Like, that's his hell. For the most part.
Herb, go to Houston for your vacation in August. You'll be really happy.
Is that one of the reasons why you liked San Diego?
Yes, perfect. Even in the inland climates, it's 100 degrees, but it's a dry heat, so I didn't sweat that much.
He's right, it is a dry heat.
I've lived in a dry heat. It's still bleeping hot. Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. Bears start camp like
tomorrow?
2 days. Like, the rookies get there tomorrow, right? Like, the rookies are supposed to.
It's this
today.
Week.
They reported today. Roquan's not there, though, right? Because you don't have a deal yet. But it's crazy that we're at camp. We're here.
It's early. Because well, the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, they've got that Hall of Fame game. I'm going to Canton, so I'm kind of excited.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I covered all of Urlacher's career, so I'm going to go and see what is happening down there. I have a funny feeling that there is going to be a giant party of those guys. Because once it was announced, like, I think it, like, on set, Alex was like, I'm going.
Lance said he was going.
Oh, well,
right?
Lance is definitely going.
Oh, yeah, then there'll be a party.
I'm just wondering, like, how many of them show up? Like, who's going to be there?
Even if it's just you four, if it's Urlacher, Lance, and Alex, I'll take that.
That's pretty good. Party. But, yeah. I mean, look, Bob Babich is going to be the person who does the induction speech to introduce him. So the linebacker coach is there. If Babich is there, Lovey's probably going to be there, I would suspect. Not that Lovey's a partier. He doesn't even drink. But I can't imagine, like, is Nate Vasher going to be there? Is Devin Hester going to be there? Like, I'm kind of excited to see, like, who strolls through Radio Row in Canton while I'm there. Because it could be a lot of fun. Meanwhile, their old teammate Thomas Jones is killing it on Luke Cage. He's killing it. Oh, you didn't know this. Thomas Jones, which is funny, because now on his Wikipedia page, it is Thomas Jones is an American actor. That's a hell of a jump.
Yeah, it is.
A guy that ran for 10,000 yards in the league, 12 years, ran for 10K, and he's done such a good job in his post-career life that he is now referred to first as an actor.
Do you think that it's ever going to say Jay Cutler is an American reality TV show star?
Eli, check Jay's Wikipedia page. Does it say that he's a reality TV star yet? Because he is a star.
For having the same reaction to everything, and it just happens to be all of our reaction to that show.
That's why I think it's great. Yes, Eli?
Nothing yet, but okay, we'll do it during the show.
It's still Jay Cutler is an American football player?
Correct.
Okay. Because there's Jay Cutler, the bodybuilder, who hates being confused with Jay Cutler, the football player. Like, he hates it. I mean, on Bears Monday, because Jay left Twitter a long time ago.
I can't believe Jay was ever on Twitter.
But the other guy stayed on Twitter, and so on Bears Mondays, he would get grief like you wouldn't believe.
Why didn't he just put, like, Jay Cutler bodybuilder or something in his handle so that it was automatic?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
What if Jay Cutler quarterback had Jay Cutler bodybuilder as his Twitter handle?
That's what Jay should have done. He totally should have done that.
Okay, can we talk about this show for a minute?
Yes, I would love to talk with you about the show.
First of all, I am not one of the people in sports who watches The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. I have never seen an episode of either show, ever, and I am proud of that. I work Monday nights, and I'm so thankful because I don't watch that dumb, dumb show. So, everybody watches Very Cavallari. Oh yeah, I said it. Are you taking offense at me talking about The Bachelor and Bachelorette?
No, I've never really watched those shows, but I'll watch the hell out of Very Cavallari.
But haven't you seen our Twitter feeds, like, blow up from sports people who watch The Bachelor?
And I
just don't get it.
I've never, like, it's never, other than when Jesse Palmer was on.
I didn't even watch then.
I don't know. I think I don't like it a lot because it's not very multicultural. Like, that always bothered me that it was like, oh, well,
here's a bunch of crazy people who all look the same trying to vie for a guy's love. Oh, it doesn't ever work out at the end. Who saw that coming?
So then that's kind of how I feel about this show, Very Cavallari.
Okay.
It's basically Jay Cutler not caring about anything, and then Kristen Cavallari pretending to have this store, and she has such trouble that she's like, I hired three people, and for some reason they don't get along. And, like, you never thought about hiring, say, somebody different or just running your store with two people. No, we have to have this social media person here who causes all the drama on the show. Like, who cares? Who cares?
I didn't get labels yet. Can I fire
him? Please do.
That was the most real, because Jay was like, yeah, let me fire them.
And Jay is right.
I think he's 100% right. That's why I like the show.
Jay maintaining an even keel about all of this is brilliant.
I like the show because he's the narrator. He's the ombudsman. Like, he's saying
what a time to be alive.
Thinking everything that Jay says about these people is exactly what we're thinking in the moment. It's the brilliance of the show. That Jay gets to kind of sit back and be the person who's telling us this story.
Jay knows that this show sucks too, but Jay's going to be on it with you.
But he's going to get paid. Jay knows this show sucks, and he's going to get paid for it. And I am here for every single bit of it. You know what I found myself doing last night? I wanted to know. Last night there was an episode, in the episode, Jay is sitting on a couch reading a book. And I was looking at his bookshelf. So I like paused it.
Creeping on Jay Keller.
Absolutely. I want to see what type of books he's reading. And he's got a nice collection of books.
Leather-bound books.
There's Greek tragedy on that shelf. I don't know what the book he was the actual book he was reading was, but I was impressed with the amount of books. And I mean, call me crazy, but I feel like those aren't Kristen's books. It just doesn't seem like those are her books.
Here's the thing about Kristen is she's smart. She is. Like we see, she's social media. No, she's social media savvy. She does have a laugh at her husband, like we all do as well. We've all shared in a laugh on Instagram with her or in social media. And I think she's smarter. She just knows that this show is going to create a lot of exposure for her brand. And so the best way to do it is to deal with these three people who work for her.
Well, I don't think
as
she
if she
comes
can't
off
find
dumb.
Anybody else right. to hire. No, that's when I'm just like, really? Like, you can't find anybody else in Nashville where everybody wants to move. Nobody else knows how to do social media for a Uncommon James, whatever brand that is. Really nobody. It's such a skill that nobody has right now. It's like welding tanks. You can't find anybody who knows how to do social media. No, it's all for the show.
It's clear that they have set up the whatever the next show is going to be with the crazies that work for her. And I have some sympathy because it's simple stuff that she's asking them to do where it's you haven't tweeted about the brand.
In 6 months or something.
The brand that we're trying to sell.
Is Twitter part of social media? I mean, I just don't get it. Like, why are they asking me to do my job?
How
like,
hard
no,
is that?
Come on, dude.
How hard is that?
You know what? I miss the days of the good old-fashioned spinoff shows that were legit. Like, I Love New York and I Love Money and Real Chance at Love. Those were the days.
I loved
Real
Chance.
And Rock of Love Bus and Charm School. Why can't we have those again? Why do we have to spin off Very Cavallari?
I mean, I feel like we should just get Viacom on the phone and tell them, let's get this cracking.
Very Cutlery.
What's New York doing these days? What's she up to
these
days?
That's a good question. I would like to know this.
I'm guessing no good. I'm guessing she's up to no good wherever she is. And now, isn't Foofy having a baby? Flavor Flav's Brigitte Nielsen, she's having a baby.
Brigitte Nielsen has had a few babies.
Yeah, but she's getting ready to have another one.
But not like, with Flav.
No, but like soon.
Flav had a niece, I believe, who played for Notre Dame basketball.
Really?
Yeah.
How old is Flavor Flav 60?
Dude, that's
I feel
crazy.
Like Flavor Flav's at least 60.
59.
Holy moly.
Uh-huh. But Brigitte Nielsen has got to be in her 50s, right?
She is in her 50s. She's
55.
And she's getting ready to have a kid. That's impressive. Is she going to be in the new Creed movie? Wouldn't it make sense for her to be in the Creed movie?
And by the way,
it's her son.
I lived in the neighborhood that they filmed all that in.
Creed?
Yes. I'm like, man, I didn't live in a rough neighborhood in Philly. What is this? That boxing gym is really a coffee shop in real life.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
See, this is what we need you. We need what we need is like pop up video. Like, since we're going retro, pop up video of you watching Very Cavallari. And then it's just a little like pop up of you, like an avatar of you saying all this stuff.
Guys,
I think it'd be great.
I don't think we're all wearing enough yoga pants and white tees right now. I mean, like, this is really important for the brand.
It's a lot of yoga pants.
I mean, social media is such a hard skill. Nobody has it. It is really hard to find people who know how to take pictures on social media. It's so hard.
I'm just sitting here going, you haven't tweeted? Like, for real?
I mean, like, who uses Twitter? It's not social media.
Like, it's your whole gig. You should be tweeting multiple times
a day. And Kristen Cavallari is not that dumb. She's not that dumb to hire somebody who doesn't know what Twitter is. She's not. She's smart. They both are.
Layla, we have come to an end of another hour.
It has been fun.
It's always fun. I appreciate you.
Same.
So thanks for coming in, and you'll be on tonight at midnight.
I will.
For Fast Break.
And then we'll try to figure out another episode of the Monthly Visitor coming up.
Yeah, August. After I get back off vacation.
wherever you're going.
Which is probably just the south side of Chicago.
Hey, man. I had brunch at Promontory for the first time. That was life-changing.
We were waiting for the call. I mean, we're literally, like, down the street.
I didn't know that.
We're, like, right there. They're, like, we got married there.
I did not know that.
You could have just called us. We know people.
Well, now I know.
The next time that you go back there, ask if Mario is around.
I will.
All right?
It's so good.
And Mario's a good man. He's a real good man. He's, like, the mayor of Hyde Park.
Love it. I need to spend more time there.
And then just call us. Like, Herb will tell you. Comes to the neighborhood. Calls us. We're right there. Just, you know, whatever.
Fam.
Yeah.
I like it.
White Panther would love to hang out.
That's the best nickname. It really, really is.
She's earned it for sure. Layla, I'll talk to you soon.
Bye, Lawrence.
She's
Bye,
the best.
Herb.
Hey, we're going to take a break. Oh, wait, but not before I tell you about Subway, Eli. See, you thought I forgot. I didn't forget. That's because at Subway, wrap your hands around Subway restaurant savory rotisserie-style chicken Caesar signature wrap. Enjoy tender rotisserie-style chicken topped off with savory Caesar sauce fit for an emperor. Try one today at Subway. Limited time only at participating restaurants. Blah, restaurants. Eric at Home and I are going to talk football and babies next here on The Score.
Jay has no game. Let me just put that on record.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.